वासुदेवाया
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What is the verse number there? 32. Jaghanarundanam asakhya vikramam. Salilaye bhamrgaradivambhasi Tatrakta pankankita ganda durtundo Yathagajendro jagatim bibindam Jaganarundanam asakhya vikramam Salilaye bhamrgaradivambhasi Tatrakta pankankita ganda tundo Yathagajendro jagatim bibindan Jaganarundhanamasakhya vikramam Salilaye bhamrgaradivambhasi Tatrakta pankankita ganda tundo Yathagajendro jagatim bibindan Vaishnavis Jaghana. Killed. Rundhanam. The obstructive enemy. Asahya. Unbearable. Vikramam. Prowess. Saha. He. Leelaya. Easily. Ibham. The elephant. Mugarat. The lion. Iva. Like. Ambhasi. In the water. Tadrakta. Of his blood. Panka Ankita. Smeared by the pool. Gandha. Cheeks. Ganda. Cheeks. Tundaha. Tongue. Yatha. As if. Gajendraha. The elephant. Jagatim. Earth. Vivindan. Digging. Translation by Jivan Gesetsvaktu and Swami Prabhupada. Thereupon Lord Boar killed the demon within the water. Just as a lion kills an elephant, the cheeks and tongue of the Lord became smeared with the blood of the demon. Just as an elephant becomes reddish from digging in the purple earth. Tamala neelam sitadanda kotya kshama shmamuk mukshipantam gajalilayanga prajnaya badanjalayon vakair virinchi mukhya upatasturisham. Then the Lord, playing like an elephant, suspended the earth on the edge of his curved white tusks. He assumed a bluish complexion like that of a tamal tree, and thus the sages headed by Brahma could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and offered respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Now purport. Now we will read the next verse. The rishis begin offering prayers now. Rishayah uchuh jitam jitam te jita yajna bhavana trayim tanum swam paridhunvate namaha yadro magarte shunirir yuraddaya stasmai namah karana sukarayate. Very, very beautiful prayers. All the sages uttered with great respect, "O unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, all glories and all victories unto you. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and in the hair holes of your body the oceans are submerged. For certain reasons, that is to uplift the earth, you have now assumed the form of a boar." Purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Lord can assume any form He likes, and in all circumstances He is the cause of all causes. Since His form is transcendental, He is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as He is in the causal ocean in the form of Mahavishnu. Innumerable universes generate from the holes of His bodily hairs, and thus His transcendental body is the Vedas personified. He is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and He is the unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is never to be misunderstood to be other than the Supreme Lord because of His assuming the form of a boar to lift the earth. That is the clear understanding of sages and great personalities like Brahma and other residents of the higher planetary systems. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuvan Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Sadamachyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagradatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Paridana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nikinamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhano Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vancha Kalpat Sadhguru-yascha Kripa-sindhubhya eva-cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna We are reading from the chapter Appearance of Lord Varaha Kunti Maharani in her prayers to Krishna spoke about Lord appearing in various forms in this world for the pleasure of his devotees and how such forms can be many times bewildering to the eyes of the common people either when they see them or when they hear about them she said you are actually ajasya akartur atmanah ajasya means you are unborn akartur means you are not acting like the common people your karma is pure and ajasya akartur means you have no activity to do you have no office to go You have no examinations to write. You have no duties to perform. You are a free bird. That's the meaning of akartu. And ajasya means you are not born by the impregnation of semen by a man in a woman's embryo. You are not born like that. In fact, you are never born. You always exist eternally. You are ajasya, akartu. You are unborn. You have a spiritual body. But yet, she says, Janma Karma Cha Vishwatman. Again, you are taking appearance. You are born in this world. And you are performing karma. And then, more bewildering than this, she says, is Triyan Nara Rishishu Yadasu Tadatyanta Vidambana. She is telling. Triyan means the animals. Like you appear as wild boar, as Varaha, in that form. Nara means you appear as human beings like Rama or Krishna, who appear like human beings. And Rishishu, amongst the Rishis, you appear as Naranarayan Rishi. Sometimes you appear like a sage, like Kapila, Lord Kapila also is the Lord. Tariyan, Nara Rishishu, Yadasu. Yadasu means like aquatics, like Matsya Avatar or Kashyapa Avatar, Kurma Avatar. So in this way, you are appearing as a tortoise or as a Rishi or as a apparently like a human being or like a wild boar. She said, Tadatyanta Vidambanam. This is very bewildering. Quite a lot for the common people can misunderstand you to be somebody ordinary. You see, Indra becomes a pig. We have heard that pastime. Once by the curse. And he has his pig family, pig wife, piglets, pig children, all living in a ditch. What is the difference between Indra becoming a pig and Lord becoming a boar? Although externally, both may look alike. It's very important to know the difference. You see, when Indra becomes a pig, he is an illusion. When Lord becomes a boar, he is fully conscious of who he is. Lord is aware that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is aware. And Lord also has a completely a spiritual divine body made of Satchidananda substance. Only. He has no material component at all. Whereas when Indra becomes a pig, he is cast into the body of a pig, like all of us are cast into some particular form, like we are in a human body now. Indra is cast into the body of a pig. Lord is not cast into the body of a boar. Lord actually accepts this form of a boar at will, by his own atmamayaya, sambhavami atmamayaya, as Krishna says. Not only that, Indra is suffering as a pig. He is living in a ditch and he is suffering eating all horrible substances. Yesterday I was hearing in a lecture, he was telling that the living entity is so attached to this world, he is even attached to things like eating stool. Even that also he doesn't want to give up in the material world. He wants to grab as much as he can, everything including stool also, he said. But when Lord comes as a boar, he is not suffering. In fact, that is actually opportunity for the Lord to exchange love with his devotees. It is actually a playful pastime for him. Actually, when Lord takes any avatar, any incarnation, that is actually like a play for him. It is actually a fun time for him. Like it is said, that was Vaikuntha Viraktaya Sri Swami Pushkarani Tate. It is said, when Lord is in Vaikuntha, he wants to, he is very eager to, you know, exchange love with the living entities in this world. Lord thinks, you know, why should I just relax in Vaikuntha? Let me go and, you know, you know, exhibit my love for my kith and kin, my very dear living entities, and let me bring them back to Vaikuntha. So he comes to this world. So Ramamaya, he actually wants to enjoy pastimes with his devotees. That's why he comes to this world, it is said. Even with those who have turned away from him, to bring them back. So when Lord comes in this form of a wild boar, which we are going to hear a little more now about, so you will see Lord is actually assuming this form of a wild boar for fun, for enjoyment. He doesn't suffer at all. Like Indra is suffering as a pig, Lord doesn't suffer as a boar. In fact, the very meaning of the word Leela means accepting a role for, voluntarily accepted role for enjoyment. That's the definition of Leela. Whereas Indra is not voluntarily accepting the body of a pig. He was cast into the pig's body, you see, by force. So, not only that, as it is said in one verse here, Lord is completely pure, Shuddham, Pavitram. He is completely pure. It is said, Lord as a wild boar, he had hairs on the back of his body. So he turned his body and sprinkled those waters from his body on the sages. And the sages felt as if somebody is throwing some rose-scented waters on them. It was smelling so nice. Because the Lord's body is also pavitram. The Ganges waters emanates from the toe of the Lord. When Vamana Dev is cracking the shell of the universe, is it not? So if that water coming from Lord's feet is pure, why will the water touching the Lord's back not be pure? It is equally pure. Any water touches any part of the Lord's body is sanamrit, it becomes pure. In this way, Lord remains pure. On the other hand, you know, Indra is living in a ditch, which is in a very impure place. And there is no purity there, you see. In fact, the Lord is compared to the sun, who absorbs urine but never gets contaminated. Apart from himself being pure, he also has the ability to make things pure, render things pure, whichever comes in contact with him. That is his nature. It's called as prophylactic. In Ishopanishad, this word is used. Asnaviram shuddham apapavidham. It is said, antiseptic and prophylactic, two words are used. Antiseptic means, you know, there is an impure place, you put some agent and you purify that place, that is antiseptic. Like we use a tincture. Some infection has come, use a tincture and clean it. But prophylactic means it's sarvaroga nivarani. Prophylactic means it will cleanse the impurity now and it will never allow any other type of impurity to come. That is prophylactic. Sarva roga nivarani. That is prophylactic. So Lord is like that. He is pure. And And Indra as a pig is impure, but Lord as, when he comes to the boat, he is pure. And Lord is not suffering in any, like here you will see, the previous, one of the previous verses. So here, see, Brahma was thinking, while I have been engaged in the process of creation, the earth has become inundated by a deluge and has gone down in the depths of the ocean. What can we do, who are engaged in this matter of creation? It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. Like that is saying, Brahma is saying in the beginning, let Krishna guide us, we don't know what to do. And then he's saying, while Brahma was engaged in thinking, a small form of a boar came out of his nostril. The measurement of the creature was not more than the upper portion of a thumb. This much portion only, this upper portion of a thumb. This much. Such a small thing came out of Brahma's nose. While Brahma was observing him, that boar became situated in the sky in a wonderful manifestation, as gigantic as a great elephant. Struck with wonder at observing the wonderful boar-like form in the sky, Brahma, with great brahmanas like Marichi, as well as the Kumaras and Manu, began to argue in various ways. Drishtva tat shaukaram rupam tarkayam asachitradha, he says. Tarkayam means they were doing tarka vitarka. What was the tarka? They were arguing, what is this boar which has appeared? Some of them felt it could be some rakshasa. Some of them thought, what is this new creature which has come? You see, this goes to show that even very great personalities cannot conceive the Lord. Lord is inconceivable even to great personalities like Brahma, Kumaras, Marichi, and Manu, all of them. Is this some extraordinary entity come in the pretense of a boar? It is very wonderful that he has come from my nose. Brahma was wondering like this. First of all, this boar was seen no bigger than the tip of a thumb, and within a moment he was as large as a stone. My mind is perturbed. Is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu? And then Prabhupada is saying that the uncommon features symptomatic of the incarnation of Godhead can bewilder even the mind of Brahma. While Brahma was deliberating with his own sons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, roared tumultuously like a great mountain. You see? The omnipotent Supreme Personality of Godhead enlivened Brahma and other highly elevated brahmanas by again roaring with his uncommon voice, which echoed in all directions. In this way, all the great sages and thinkers, the residents of Janalok, Tapolok, Satyalok, when they heard the tumultuous voice of the Lord Boar, which was all auspicious sound of the all-merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. Now they understood now who it is, you see. So, this was told by Lord Krishna in the dawn of creation to Brahma. Jnanam paramaguhyam me. He said, the knowledge about me, Brahma, is a great secret. Before the Chatushtoki, this is the verse which comes. Jnanam paramaguhyam me. He says, guhyam means secret. The knowledge about me is a great secret, and that cannot be understood by any amount of endeavor or by logic or reason or argumentation or anything. And then he said, by bhakti samanvayam, along with bhakti, devotional service when you do. When you do devotional service and cultivate knowledge, by these two things will you get knowledge? Still no. You cannot get knowledge even by doing devotional service and by cultivating knowledge. Why? Our devotional service and cultivation of knowledge should become pleasing to Krishna. And then he will reveal himself to us. And that is the only way to get knowledge. When Krishna reveals himself to us, then only we can know about him. In this way, even if one is doing bhakti, that bhakti should touch the heart of Krishna. Then only Krishna will reveal himself to us. Just like Draupadi's call touched Krishna's heart, then he came and gave unlimited saris. Similarly, Lord told Brahma, my dear Brahma, he told him, there are four verses out of which the first two are prominent. He said, Ahameva Samevagre Nanyat Sadhatparam. He said, there is nothing but me in this creation. At the dawn of creation only I existed. Now I exist. After everything is annihilated in Pralaya, I will continue to exist. So, I am the truth. There is no truth beyond me. Lord said that. And then he told one verse about Maya also. Anybody who thinks in this world there is anything wonderful for enjoyment which has no connection to Krishna, that is called Maya, he said. So, as long as this external world of Maya is very attractive with no reference to Krishna, then one cannot see Krishna. That is why one does tapasya. Why Brahma was told to do tapasya? Brahma withdrew his senses and mind and completely focused it in samadhi on the Supreme. And then when the Supreme Lord saw that Brahma is doing this penance, he became pleased. Then he revealed himself to him. So jnanam paramaguhyam, he says, the secret knowledge of mine is revealed by me to you. That is how you can know me, he said. So in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam we find muhyanti at surayaha, it is said. Surayaha means the demigods, headed by the top personalities like Shiva and Brahma, Indra, even they can be bewildered. And they can be, even in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Namevidu Suragana, Prabhavam Namaharshaya. The demigods actually come from me, Aham Adirhi Devanam, Krishna said. But he says, Namevidu means what? Vidu means to know. Even demigods don't know me, Krishna says. And the practical proof is here. How demigods don't know who Lord is. They are seeing the board is coming from Brahma's nose and flying in the sky, and even Brahma is bewildered, and they are all doing tarka vitarka, asking, who this is? Could he be this? Could he be some demon? Or could he be some... what kind of creature is this? Brahma actually is like the father of the whole universe. Even he is put to bewilderment. Which goes to show how much Krishna is inconceivable. He cannot be captured very easily. What to speak of ordinary mortals who are like Western theologians trying to study God. Like once Rameshwar Swami came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, some Christians are arguing about our different types of incarnations. He said, what is our argument? He said, they are saying this, half man, half lion form of Narasimha, or we have this form of a boar, or form of a tortoise. They are asking, how can God come on in all these forms, or human-like form, and all these things. Prabhupada says, what is the difficulty? God can assume any form he likes, and he can manifest his pastimes in that particular form for the pleasure of his devotees. So he was telling Rameshwar Swami, saying, no, they are saying that actually God doesn't have to do any activity. He can simply think. By his will, let there be light, God said, there was light. Let there be earth, then there was earth. Prabhupada said, yes, it is true. God is not a gross person like you. Don't expect God to come with a chisel and hammer, chisel and coming and hitting and creating the universe. Prabhupada said, it is true. God does it by his Ichha Shakti. Simply by thinking, let there be earth. Yes, there was earth. But that doesn't mean God cannot act. Do you think God is dumb? God is blind? God is deaf? That he has no activity to do, he's just sitting on place and just thinking, let me create this, let me create that, just creating, not doing anything. Because, everybody has to think God is a great soul. So he has to just only think and do, and he is not allowed to act. Do you think his hands and legs are tied up? God wants to act. Because only when he acts, his devotees can relish that activity. And they can strike a relationship with him. God is not like a dull stone, or God is not like an impersonal light. When he acts, then his devotees have a chance to witness those activities and glorify those activities and delve deeply into those pastimes. And Prabhupada said, these people, they don't know even ABC of God. What do they know? They have not even begun. In fact, they only go to God for bread. They don't know anything beyond that. They are not interested in the activities of God. Then he said, no, Prabhupada, they are saying that if God wanted to reveal himself in these ways, he could have told Moses, God came as a burning bush and all, he would have told Moses that these are my different incarnations and everything. Why God didn't tell at that time, they are asking. Prabhupada said, God has given basic 10 commandments, even that you are not following. You are so rascal that God thought, there is no use telling about me to these fellows. I am telling them to do some basic things for their happiness, even that they are not doing. Then how will I be able to tell about myself to them? You see, a man, for example, you would be a millionaire. A millionaire may have some servant, he may have somebody who works in his garden, or he may have somebody to bring the things. He is not going to tell confidential things to such a person, ordinary person. To become a confidential associate of somebody, you need some qualification, is it not? God is telling people, God is seeing that people go to him, salute him and ask for bread, take the bread and go away. They are not interested in God, they are interested in filling their own bellies. So how will God reveal himself to them fully? He is going to reveal to somebody who is sacrificing themselves and eager to know about God and eager to enter into a relationship with him. That's why Jesus said, there is a lot of things I have got to say, but you are not yet qualified for that, he said. Prabhupada quoted that also. So, in this way, these incarnations of God, like the Dasha Avatar, see, every song Jayadeva Goswami says, Keshavadruta Shukara Rupa, Keshavadruta Narahari Rupa, Keshavadruta, like that he says, for each avatar, which means Keshava only comes as a wild boar. Keshava only comes as Narasimha. So when devotees have this proper understanding, Lord Krishna has come in these different forms, then they can appreciate these forms. Like here you see, when all of them saw, Brahma was also watching. They were speculating in the beginning. They were arguing. They were commenting. Maybe this, maybe that. Like Prabhupada gives the example. Somebody saw some three pandits with big turbans. They saw one crow came and landed on a branch of a tree. And a palm fruit fell down. Somebody said, you see, the palm fruit fell down because the crow sat on the branch. Another fellow said, no, before the crow sat, the palm fruit fell down. Which means the wind must have blown very heavily. And the third fellow said, hey, please don't argue. The fruit was also very ripe. And the crow also sat. And because the fruit was ripe, it fell. There was no wind. He was selling like that. So, all of them are arguing like this, speculating like this. But there was one devotee passing by. He just picked up the fruit and ate it and went away. Other three fellows are just showing and talking among themselves. Similarly, in this world, everybody talks and argues about God. Maybe God is this, maybe God is that. But devotees, they accept Bhagavatam, which is the mature fruit of all wisdom, handed down in parampara, isn't it? Pibata Bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuka, it is said. So, nigamakalpataror galitam phalam. Instead of arguing about the truth, it is best to take shelter of Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, to know the truth. Because Brahma, the original founder Acharya, even he teaches that speculation is of no use. That's why he says, let us take shelter of Lord, he says. So, there is no way to understand this. Let the Lord, let the Almighty Lord direct us, he says. And then the Almighty Lord directed him. Immediately they all understood. When they saw the boar, they couldn't understand. But when they heard the wild roar in the sky, immediately the Lord revealed the truth that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And immediately the sages folded their palms. And they started offering wonderful prayers. Sahasrashirsa Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat. So they offered the prayers of the prayers to the Lord. And then he is saying, see, first the Lord showed himself and then he did his great activity. he was slashing his tail. He turned around and sprinkled water on the top of sages and demigods. And with his hooves, he was cutting the clouds in the sky. And entering into the clouds, and he was also, his eyes, it is said, were shining like sun and moon. Actually, sun and moon are his eyes only. Isn't it? Why they were shining like the sun? Because they stole the shine of the sun also, it is said, because the Lord's eyes are like sun and moon. And Chandra and Surya are his netra. So, and his eyes are like lotus petals, it is said. Although he had the form of a boar, still he had Kamalanayana. He was the most beautiful boar. In one purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord comes in every species, he says. He can come, he comes also as a mosquito, he comes in every species. Why? To preach in those respective species also. Either Prabhupada writes. You know, when all the boar sees Lord coming as boar, then all the boars surrender. They also make advancement. Like that, one place Prabhupada writes. In one of his purports, he writes like that. He looks so beautiful. But there is one special difference. If somebody becomes Miss India or Mr. India or Miss Universe or Miss Mr. Universe, they can only become attractive to whom? Same species only. Whereas here is the difference. When Lord comes as boar, even the human beings and sages and demigods are attracted to him, seeing his beautiful form. You see? His attractive form. All living beings are attracted to him. Like this. So, Lord, when Lord heard all the sages chanting the mantras like this, he roared once more, second time. Why? To encourage the devotees. Prabhupada writes here. You see? Tesham satam veda vitana murti brahmavadharyatma gunanuvadam. See, they are calling us Veda Vitana Murti. The Lord is actually Vedic prayers personified, they are calling. Why? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmakshara Samudbhavam. The Vedas are coming from the breathing of Vishnu. So they come out of Vishnu by Vishnu's breathing and they enter into Brahma's heart. Isn't it? And now when Brahma is breathing, they are coming out from the nostril of Brahma. So what is coming out of nostril of Brahma is Veda personified, they are saying. It is Akshat Vishnu only. So his body is completely pure, like the Vedas are pure, Vedic mantras are pure like that. Slashing his tail, his hard hairs quivering, his glance was luminous, and he scattered the clouds in the sky with his hooves and his glittering white tusks. This way he appeared. So these prayers, Rishaya Uchu, beginning from here, these are very, very wonderful prayers. See, they are offering prayers. O Lord, your form is worshipable by sacrifice. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri and others, are the touch of your skin. Like that they are glorifying. Then they are saying, see here, just like, so they are appreciating the activities of the Lord. The Lord, after going up in the sky like this, then he goes down and then he penetrates the waters and he brings the earth, placing on his two tusks. Again he is rising up and coming and placing the earth in its orbit. So it's a very amazing activity. So, having observed that, they are saying, just like an elephant enters into a lake and pulls out a lotus along with the leaves, big, big lotus leaves, and brings it out. Similarly, you have brought this earth with all its mountains out of the Garbhodaka ocean and you have placed it in its orbit. So it's a very great activity, and they are appreciating the Lord after the Lord did it. And then they are saying here, you see, samstapayainam jagatam satastusham लोकाया पत्नी मसिमातरं पिता विदेमचास्य नमसा सहत्वया यस्याम सतेजो अग्निमिवारणावधाः. They're saying all the inhabitants on the earth, both moving and non-moving, they are all given a place on earth. And who is earth? Earth is Bhudevi. Bhudevi is also one of the consorts of the Lord. It is like a mother keeping children on her lap. Like that, Mother Earth is keeping us on her lap. They're like, we are all like children, moving and non-moving, the trees and the beasts and birds and aquatics and human beings and all kinds of 8.4 million species of life. They're all kept by the mother. Lokaya patni masi mataram pita. So you are the pita for us, my dear Lord Bor incarnation, they are calling him as pita. And this bhumi is our mataram. And for you, patni masi. For you, she is your patni, they're saying. Which means Mother Earth is your consort and our mother. Videma chase namasa sahatvaya. We all are offering our namaskar to you and to her. Which means they are worshipping Earth also. Because Earth is also Bhudevi, Mother. She is worshipable. You see, people are passing stool and urine and doing all dirty things, but she is tolerating. Just like a mother is cleaning the urine stool of a child. In the Vedic life, if somebody goes to pass stool in a bush, first there is a prayer to be offered. Oh, my dear Mother Earth, you are extremely tolerant. And now I am going to do some activity which is not a very auspicious activity. I am going to do a dirty activity of passing urine and stool. Kindly bear with me. That's the meaning of the prayer. And then you do the visarjan. You do jala. You put the, after you pass through and water and everything, you put some sand. Again there is a prayer. Forgive me for this. But you are sustaining my body on yourself. And since you are the patni of the Supreme Lord, Mother, you are sustaining me. Why? Because you know very well that I will engage in the Father's service. So, I will use my body in Lord's service. That's a prayer. Of course, nowadays nobody goes to bush in the city. We may be living in a flat. Although you may be living in a flat, when one is doing... See, in the Vedic life, everything is very, very much connected to Krishna directly. So the Bhumi is like a mother, not like a mother, she is mother actually, one of the mothers, its own mother's Bhumi. And she is the consort of the Lord. Here they are offering sahatvaya, means we are offering to you and to her, to both of you, we are offering our namaskar. Yasyansate jogni mivarana vadaha. And here a very great secret Prabhupada is saying. He is saying that scientists are thinking that the earth has a gravitational pull, Gurutvakarshan, by which all the living entities are peacefully able to sit and stand and walk and do activities in this world. But how is Mother Earth having this gravitational pull? Prabhupada is explaining. The so-called law of gravitation, which sustains the planets, is described herein as the potency of the Lord. This potency is invested by the Lord in the way that an expert sacrificial brahmana puts fire in the arani wood by the potency of Vedic mantras. By this arrangement, the world becomes habitable for both moving and non-moving creatures. You see, inside the earth, this kind of potency is put by the Lord. Just like a brahmana would take arani stick and they would put a mantra, immediately it will, fire would start coming out. So the fire is there, but by the pronunciation of mantra, the fire comes out. Similarly, in Mother Earth, the Gurutvakarshan is invested by Lord Vishnu, because of which he is able to allow all of us to be able to inhabitable place on the top of the earth. So in this way, the Brahmanas are, the sages are beautifully glorifying earth and the Lord as mother and father, you see. And then they are saying that how, my dear Lord, you assumed this form of a boar, we are not wonderstruck, they are saying. See, Shastras, they are so amazing. They say that you have to wonder. Then Lord does wonderful activities if you want to develop bhakti. At the same time, they are also saying that We are not wondering this great form in which you have appeared. Is it not opposite? You may wonder. You may wonder how they cannot wonder. But here you see what they are saying. Na vismayo sautvayi vishva vismaye yomaya yedam sasujeti vismayam. They are saying na vismayo asau tvayi. They are saying, my dear Lord, for you to do this kind of wonderful act of coming as a wild boar, it's not a very great deal for you. Why? The reason is Vishva Vismaye. You have made this cosmic manifestation which is full of wonders. Unlimited wonders. Like the sun rising in the morning. Prabhupada says the sun is 90,000 million miles away. And the one sun has got 25,000 earths can be put into one sun. So big is the sun. And the sun is traveling at a speed of 19,000 miles per second, he says. 1 second, 19,000 miles it travels. Such a huge ball of fire. And that it is moving so fast. Who created it? And yasyajnaya brahmati sambrita kala chakra. Yasyajnaya means yasya ajnaya. By whose order the sun is moving? It is by Krishna's order sun is moving. The seasons are changing, the sun is giving light, the flowers are blooming, and all these wonderful things are happening in this world. So you have created this cosmic manifestation. Prabhupada is saying, foolish people admire the creation of scientists. Like a scientist has created a mobile or a television or an aeroplane. When it is going, people will become amazed by it. Prabhupada says, how scientists could do these things? Because they have a brain. Now who gave them the brain? Did a scientist create his own brain? Can any scientist create his own brain? So Krishna is the gigantic brain behind the scientist's brain. Similarly, this huge cosmic machine has a gigantic brain, which is Krishna. So they are saying, Vishva Vismaye. This whole world you have created, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, O Keshava Tuya Jagata Vichitra. Your world is full of vichitra, amazing wonders. So, yo maya yedam satsajeti vismayam. By this maya shakti of yours, you have created this wonderful world. So, everywhere there is wonder, my dear Lord, and for you to appear in this form of a boar to please your devotees. And who is your devotee? That is Mother Earth, Bhudevi. Lord is coming to please Bhudevi. Bhudevi, she is now carried away by Hiranyaksha and placed under the waters. He has done in those days we heard of Harshad Mehta scandal long before. People thought it is a very big thing. Harshad Mehta became so popular in the newspapers in those days. But nowadays, there are ustads who are 100 times bigger, 1,000 times bigger. You know, people are stealing, 1,80,000 crores of rupees. Huge kind of scandals people are doing. But Hiranyaksha was such a huge scandal doer that he stole the earth only. Can you imagine? With all its resources, picked it up and placed it underwater in a hiding place. So Mother Earth was very insecure. She was feeling very scared and worried that I have been taken away like this. Like Ravana carried Sita and the Hiranyaksha carried the earth only, Bhudevi. Was carrying like this in order to exploit her and enjoy her. All the demigods are worried. Swayambhu Manu is worried, how will I perform my duties to all living entities? How will I place them? Brahma is worried, all demigods are in anxiety. And here Lord comes to relieve the devotees of their anxieties by performing this wonderful leela pastime of picking the Mother Earth and placing her in her orbit like this. So, Prabhupada gives an example in one of his lectures. He says how the President Gladstone was carrying his small boy on his back, and then like an elephant he was moving around inside his office while somebody was waiting for a long time. After an hour, the visitor slowly peeped to the door to see what is happening. And there he saw the president was crawling like an elephant. So he laughed to himself, how can president be crawling on the ground and keeping his boy on his back? So that is only due to love. Similarly, Lord Varaha is Supreme Lord, but he is carrying Bhudevi on his tusk to please her and to place her in her actual position and to please all the demigods and to please all the sages, all the devotees. So Lord is assuming this wonderful form, and for him there is no difficulty to assume any form he likes. Piriyan nara rishi vyadasu. It may be vidambanam for those who do not know about him, who have not heard in parampara about him. So they are saying that it's no wonder, my dear Lord, you can do like this. You can come in any type of form. Like Prahlad, when he saw Lord Narasimha, he was not afraid. Why? Because he saw Lord Narasimha as a manifestation of love. Why is Lord Narasimha so angry? He is angry because of the offenses committed by Hiranyakashipu towards his pure devotee Prahlad. But why should Prahlad fear Lord Narasimha? There is no reason only for fearing. Like you are walking in the road, in the opposite side a policeman is coming, will you be afraid? You won't be afraid. Only a thief has to be afraid, isn't it? One who is opposing the government or the police, or one who is robbing. So Prahlad did not fear the Lord appearing in that type of form. Sometimes a brother may want to frighten his sister. Say he may wear the mask of a lion, and he may be hiding, behind a bureau or something. And when the girl comes into the room, that he does, she gets frightened. It's a lion. And she's crying. Next moment, he removes the mask and says, "He is laughing. Who it is?" Isn't it? Immediately she understands, oh, it's after all my brother. I got unnecessarily frightened. Similarly, demigods were also frightened by seeing Narasimha Dev. They knew it is Lord. But Prabhupada says, the devotees by nature are very tender and soft-hearted. And devotees are good souls. But when the Lord appeared in this form, Lord's anger frightened them. He says, but Prahlad was such a pure devotee, he didn't become frightened at all. He clearly could see this is Krishna only. Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa. Similarly here, Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa is coming in these various forms. And all these forms are divine. They are all, their whole body is made up of Satchidananda. And it is so important to know. If you don't know these facts, we can never develop affection for Lord coming in various forms. There are so many misunderstandings in India amongst the people. Especially the Mayavadis have done a very great disservice to the pious Indians. Because many people, why have they lost interest in hearing about these wonderful pastimes? Although they may do this Bharatanatyam and Dashavatara Stotram and everything people do, they don't do it with love for Krishna. It is not done. Like one time in our temple here, backside we had called a group, some Bharatanatyam group of some 20-30 girls who came and performed. Such a wonderful dance they performed. In different avatars and all they performed. So after that I was so impressed. I said, how wonderfully they performed. How nice it will be for all of these girls. They wear tilak and kantimala and become Hare Krishna devotees. It will be so nice. And they have a group, Bharatanatyam group. So they did it free of cost for us. We had to only give them some costume, some necessary things. But I found they were more interested in putting up the performance and announcing the name of their club or whatever than to learn anything about Krishna. We tried our best to give them books. We tried our best to preach to them through Mataji's and all. But they weren't interested. They were in fact saying that we are going here to perform. We are going to California to perform. We are going to London to perform. So they may do Dashavatara Stotram and Keshavadritam. They will be dancing very beautifully for that. They may do that. But there is no bhakti bhavana in that. You ask them about, please tell us about the wild boar, Lord coming as wild boar. They don't do it with affection for the Lord in their hearts. Or they are not interested in Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad, Narasimhadev pastime. They are not interested. They are more interested in doing Tayataka dance and winning the heart of some audience and get applause and push off to another place to do the same, another Tayataka there also. They are doing like this. So in India, people like pious entertainment. That is why Srila Prabhupada exactly caught the neck of the problem. What is the problem? The problem is people exactly don't know how Krishna comes in these various incarnations. Actually, loving Varaha Rupa is also loving Krishna. If somebody is loving Narsingadev, it's also loving Krishna, because it's all like Krishna coming in multiple acting. Like sometimes in a movie you see, double acting, triple acting. In some cinemas they have one person acting in 10 roles. You have seen that sometimes, isn't it? So in so many different roles. Similarly, Krishna also is Dashavatara. He is Avatari and all others are avatars. And they are, that's why in every line he says Keshavadritta, he says Keshava is the same person. But he comes in different roles. You see, generally when a person is in a very big position, you only generally get to see him sitting on an elevated seat and everybody salutes him. But if he comes down from that position and performs some very simple activity like doing gardening, doing sweeping, giving you some food or something like that, then that person becomes very attractive. Why? Because when a person is in his position of everybody saluting and respecting a person, that is not as charming and enchanting to the hearts as when a person is coming in various roles like this and performing, like you see as Shukara Rupa is coming and saving earth. And actually everything he does is very wonderful. Adbhuta Karmanaha, it is said. Very, very relishable act. Very wonderful act. In this way, Lord, by his activities, he charms the hearts of the devotees. You see, the scriptures are full of such nectar. You see, it is said, Vasudev, he had many wives. But Kunti was Vasudev's sister. And in Bhagavatam it is said, Vasudev gave her abundant gifts of, ornaments and gold and jewelry and saris and everything, and satisfied her without dissatisfying his wives, it is said. Why? Sometimes a man may have some few sisters, and if he gives to his sister some gift, his wife is watching. And after he comes home, she says, hey, whenever you go home, you take such big gifts. But you never took care of us. You never give me. In this world, you try to satisfy one party, then another party becomes dissatisfied. Sometimes you appreciate the youth preachers, then other background people say, we are in background, nobody looks at us. They will say. So you appreciate them, how wonderful they are, and people will say, we have done so much youth preaching, nobody appreciates us. They will say. In this world, it is very difficult to balance everybody. But Vasudeva was such a great personality that he could satisfy his wives, he could satisfy Kunti, his sister, for whom he had a great affection, because she was a widowed sister, and he had extra affection for her, without dissatisfying his wives. Why? Because he was a pure devotee of Krishna. And Krishna himself knows the same art, how to satisfy, behave in a way to satisfy everybody. Like you see, when Krishna when Krishna defeated Rukmi, at that time he was planning to kill him. And Rukmini was crying. And then Balaram came and told Krishna, hey Krishna, just see, how can you kill this Rukmi? Look at this Rukmini, who is sister of Rukmi. She always has a sweet smiling face. And look at her, how she is weeping now. Spare this fellow, leave him. Why are you so atrocious? Balaram scolded Krishna. Of course, an elder brother, he can scold, isn't it? And Krishna immediately dropped and he said, okay. He just shaved him partly, left little hair like this. And then he humiliated him and left him. But later on, when Rukmi was playing chess with Balramji, actually Balramji was winning. But Rukmi claimed that he was winning. He said, I won this. So it was 100 coins, 1000 coins, 10,000 coins, he was keeping like that. And even the demigods in the clouds, they shouted, Balram won, they said. But this fellow was opposing, because there was one friend of his, what was his name? Kalinga Karaja. He was cheating. He was telling Rukmi how to cheat Balram. Balram got so wild. He got up and took his club. One hit, he finished Rukmini. Hard. And this Kalingaka Raja, who was laughing, he gave a good slap and removed all his teeth and gave in his hand. So, and Krishna was watching all this. And Krishna was about to jump happily. And he wanted to give a pat on the back of Balaram and say, "Sabash, you did very wonderfully." But in the meantime, who came? Rukmini came. And when Krishna saw Rukmini, immediately became quiet. He was very intelligent. Why? Actually, if he appreciates, Balaram will be happy. But who will be unhappy? Rukmini will be unhappy. Or if he takes side of Rukmini, then Balaram will be unhappy. So Krishna silently, you know, escaped from that place. So in this way, Krishna, he assumes this type of roles. Just like I was telling, Vasudeva was satisfying his wives and sisters. Similarly, Krishna was able to satisfy both Rukmini and Balaram by his behavior. So, you will find that Lord's activities are all amazing. It's called as Adbhuta Karmana. Adbhuta means very wondrous activities. Similarly, when he comes here, he is slashing his tail, he is cutting the clouds with his hooves. Is it not a very wonderful thing? When I was reading this, I was remembering how the aeroplane takes off in the sky. If you have seen an airport, first it goes in a runway like this, slowly it goes, and then takes a U-turn, like that, builds up, and then slither it takes off. You have seen that? Slant way it takes off. So even an aeroplane taking off is so beautiful. How much beautiful this must have been when Lord Shukara appeared, first like a thumb. Then appeared like this much size, then he appeared like an elephant, then appeared like a huge mountain, like a Meru Parvat. And slashing his tail, cutting the clouds with his hoofs, he's flying up in the sky. It must have created a wonder in the whole creation. Everybody must have watched. And then he's diving deep into the waters of Garbhodak Ocean and taking the earth and coming out. So, these kind of activities Lord performs. And Lord actually wants to perform like this to satisfy the devotees, because his heart, what is Krishna's heart? Krishna's heart is to please his devotees. He wants to please his devotees. Devotees become amazed. When devotees are amazed, then Lord is very happy. Again he is roaring, making sounds. So you all are offering me prayer? Thank you. And when Lord is roaring, devotees cheer even more. Actually both are transcendently attached to one another. They are trying to please each other. So, yeah, in this way, we should learn about all these avatars by hearing from parampara, parampara of pure devotees. Like Srila Prabhupada saved the world from Mayavadis and impersonalists. See, there's a beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. All of you please repeat. Shri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande.
Shri Chaitanya Prabhum Vande.
Balopi Yadanugrahat.
Balopi Yadanugrahat.
Tarenana Matagraha.
Tarenana Matagraha.
Vyaptam Siddhanta Sagaram.
Vyaptam Siddhanta Sagaram.
See, here he is saying, I offer my namaskar to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusions about the ultimate truth, which is full of crocodiles of various theories. He's saying, imagine there is a vast ocean which has got huge crocodiles, and imagine some small boy like our Shamu, you put him, ask him to swim, and he's slowly swimming like this, and crocodiles are coming, and imagine, and he's going from one side of the ocean to the other side of the ocean. And if it is possible, what can you say? It's only possible by Krishna's mercy. So all of us are like small Shyamus, isn't it? And we are all wandering in this world in ocean of conclusions given by who all? Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. Prabhupada is saying here, isn't it? Kannada, Kapila, philosophers, Dattatreya, Patanjali and Gautama are given yoga systems, argumentative presentations of jnanis, philosophy of Buddha. Prabhupada is calling these are all dangerous creatures in the ocean of nescience. So in this way, six systems of philosophy, there are so many atheistic philosophy. Apart from this, there is also Western philosophies. So much bogus philosophies. They are all compared to what? Their conclusions?
Crocodiles.
Yeah, these are all like crocodiles in the ocean of conclusions. Ocean of conclusion means what? Everybody has come to some conclusion. Like Prabhupada used to say, one Swami in India, Yatomat Tatopas. Whatever you follow, that is religion. Anybody can follow any religion you want. Yeah. So, in this way you find so many crazy, wrong conclusions are presented as religion. No? There are so many people claiming to be God. So, in India especially, India is a market of all types of religions. All kinds of people selling their product and concocted religious principles. So Prabhupada is saying these are all like crocodiles in the ocean of conclusions. And when Balopi means like a small bala, small boy, trying to swim, he can be swallowed by the crocodiles. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy has come in our lives. That's why he says, Balopi yad anugrahat. Even a small boy can be saved by Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Mande, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he is saying, Kaviraj Goswami, this is a very beautiful verse. Krishna kirtana gana nartana kala pato jani brajita sadbhakta valiham cha chakra madupa shreni viharaspadam karnanande kaladvanir vahatume jivamaru prangane Sri Chaitanya dayanide Tavalasad Leela Sudha Swardhuni. See, Swardhuni means the Ganges. The foaming Ganges waters in the form of a very beautiful river is flowing. Our tongue is compared to Maru Prangane, like a desert. May the beautiful holy Ganges water like the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. And that river which is decorated with beautiful lotuses, what are the lotuses compared to chanting, dancing and singing, the activities of Krishna, that is compared to lotuses. And the devotees are compared to what? He is saying, Hamsa Chakra Madhupa. They are compared to the swans, ducks and bumblebees. So the devotees are compared to this. The swans are like Paramahamsa devotees. Ducks are like Kanishtha adhikaris, like us, neophyte devotees. And also the Madhupa means the bumblebees which are constantly hovering over those lotuses. Like that. So the lotuses are compared to singing, dancing and glorifying the activities of the Lord. And the Ganges is compared to the activities of the Lord. Because the activities of the Lord only leads to chanting and singing and dancing, isn't it? Because like we sing, Yashumati Nandana Brajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana. So we hear, we first read the Lord's activities, then we glorify it. We sing it, we speak it, we relish it, we remember it, we share it, we do that. That's why the lotuses come from where? From the river. So the river is compared to the Lord's wonderful transcendental activities. Like now, Lord Shukara, he did this activity. So we are talking about it today, isn't it? So the Lord's activities are the Ganges and the lotuses are the descriptions and the singing, chanting and dancing. And the devotees are compared to swans and ducks and bumblebees, which are constantly hovering over those lotuses very happily, very joyfully in that scenic place. And then he is saying here, he says, Oh my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarian Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. Viharaspadam. Aspada means abode. Viharaspada means for the devotees to delight. Like, you know, you see, people like to delight. Like I was going between this Nagar and Bombay. What is that on the way which comes? One place where they have waterfalls, you know? Not Lonavala. From Nagar if you go to Bombay. From Nagar we went to, I think, there is this one place. What do you call that? At Panchi. There is a place where there is a huge waterfalls. You find so many college students come there. Yeah, there's no place. So just like Lonavala, you have the waterfalls. So people come and delight in such places, is not to people go to some resort, isn't it? Like that. But similarly for a devotee, which is a resort? Where devotees go and delight? Chanting, dancing and singing. Huh? Viharaspadam, he is saying. Sadbhakta avali hamsa chakra madhupa. Avali means there are lots of swans, huh? Lot of ducks and lot of bumblebees. Huh? Shreni viharaspadam, he is saying. Swarms means lots of them. They are all on the Ganges. Huh? That he is saying. Beautiful things, what is the lotus flower singing, dancing, loud chanting of Krishna's holy name? Which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees? These devotees are compared to swans, ducks and bees. The rivers flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. And then Prabhupada is saying here, the desert needs a constant supply of refreshing water to make it fertile and fruitful. Water is the substance most needed in the desert. The transient pleasure derived from... So the Mayavadis are speaking about God. Prabhupada is saying that is like slightly wetting the tongue. Put little water and give a pace. It is not satisfying to the soul. Isn't it? You know, you ask Mayavadis, what will I get out of what you are teaching? You can become free from cycle of birth and death, they say. Then what will you get? You will get some shanti shanti. That is like putting little drops of water in the tongue. It's not satisfying. Whereas... glorifying Krishna's activities as Matsya Avatar, Kurma Avatar, Varaha Avatar, Narasingha Avatar, all these activities, that's like a Ganga Pravah, very forceful Ganga coming like that. Prabhupada is saying, the transient pleasure derived from mundane topics of art, culture, politics, sociology, dry philosophy, poetry is compared to a mere drop. Although such topics have a qualitative feature of transcendental pleasure, they are saturated with modes of material nature. Neither collectively nor individually can they satisfy the vast requirements of the desert like time. Despite crying in various conferences, therefore, the desert like tongue continues to be parched. For this reason, people from all parts of the world must call for the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are compared to swans swimming around the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or like bees humming around his lotus feet in transcendental pleasure, searching for honey. The dryness of material happiness cannot be moistened by the so-called philosophers who cry for Brahman, Brahman liberation, and similar dry speculative objects. And then he is saying, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his many bona fide devotees who never leave the lotus feet of the Lord to become imitation Mahaprabhus. Isn't it? But all the devotees cling to his lotus feet like bees that never leave a honey-soaked lotus flower. See, Prabhupada is saying that devotees never try to imitate Mahaprabhu and become Mahaprabhu, you see. But they always remain in his lotus feet as servants of the Lord. This path. The dancing and singing about pastimes of Lord Krishna is compared to the pure waters of the Ganges, which are full of lotus flowers. The enjoyers of these lotus flowers are the pure devotees, who are like bees and swans. They chant like flowing of Ganga. So when devotees glorify Krishna, it is compared to the flowing of Ganga, like Amrita Varsha or Akasha Ganga, like that. So the author, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, humbly compares himself to materialistic persons who always engage in dry talk, from which they derive no satisfaction. So in this way, the Krishna Katha heard in Parampara is compared to the Ganga Pravah. See, if you don't take advantage of this Ganga Pravah with the lotuses and swans and bumblebees, very beautiful description. So when we come in Sangha and delight in association of devotees, hearing about the transcendental activities from Srimad Bhagavatam, if you don't do it, then there is Bhava Pravah, another Pravah. That current carries everybody into the cycle of birth and death, which brings unlimited suffering. Like, you know, I hear so many people coming and saying, I am facing this problem, that problem. Actually, there's a one-stroke solution which is given in this verse. This is only a solution. If you are devotees, we should be like this. Like the swans and the ducks and the bees, you know, surrounding the lotuses, which is singing, dancing and chanting. Living in the activities of the Lord. Lord's activity should be our very life, very pran. Our survival Like if you are very thirsty, somebody is a dying man, thirsty for water, he needs water. And this water is actually activities of Krishna. So the Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha, Vamana, these 10 avatars, each of them, they all have performed very wonderful pastimes, and Bhagavatam elaborately explains it. So I was seriously thinking we should do one Bhagavad Katha. In 7 days we can finish all 10 avatars. So we have one devotee speaking on one avatar. So we complete it in 7 days, where we should clarify especially the Mayavadi misconceptions. So that is why I was telling at the beginning, difference between Indra becoming boar and Lord becoming boar. There is a big difference. And if it was not for Prabhupada, we would never get such a clear picture. Shrila Prabhupada ki, Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.